Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Homo Sapiens. Can you hear the sound of waves lapping? Tell you for why, because I'm by the seaside. I'm in Cape Town because that's the kind of girl I am. I'm on my holidays. And quick bug update. Seen a large lizard. I've seen a huntsman spider. Now, the huntsman spider, non-venomous but big, looks like the sort of cartoon of a tarantula, but smaller. And we came face to face in the sitting room. And do you know what it's done, which is quite crazy, is that they hide in spaces. So like they hide, they can make themselves really long and thin, and this one's hiding in a bit of crevice in the ceiling. But I can see it because I am the sort of person who looks for these things. How are you all? Bit of a double whammy today. We've got incredible guests. We've got Andrew Scott and we've got Andrew Haig, two Andrews, both whom I adore. Now, Andrew Scott, you will all know him as Hot Priest from Fleabag, among his many other accomplishments. The man is a Swiss army knife of talent. And Andrew Scott is also very intriguingly in the new talent of Mr. Ripley that's coming up. Joining him is the director, Andrew Haig. Andrew Haig directed the film Weekend, which is, in no sense of understatement, a pivotal moment in my life, and many of us queer folk. Beautiful story of two guys meeting and, well, I won't spoil it, but you've just got to watch it. Andrew has therefore obviously gone on since that movie to make many other movies, including 45 Years and just endless brilliant things. He did Looking, which I think that I'd have a shrine to it in my sitting room if I could. And he has teamed up with Andrew Scott and Paul Mescal. Don't know if anybody knows who he is. Not really, no. They have made this film, All of Us Strangers. And that is why they're here at Homo Sapiens Towers today. So they swung by for a chat to talk about the new film, Andrew and Andrew. And it's a really lovely chat. I just really loved the pair of them. As soon as we sat down, we just felt like we were talking like old friends. So we talk all about kind of the themes in the film and what they kind of mean in their own personal lives. And the film is amazing. It broke me, as I tell them in the interview. And so you have to go and see it. The film has already sent the internet into a complete mad spin. I can't move on my Instagram for memes about it. And we talk about loneliness in the LGBT community. We talk about coming out to your parents and actually showing your parents the real side of you when you come out, not just a nice sanitized side, which some of us can often do. So anyway, that's coming up in a minute. In the meantime, are you all caught up on our latest episodes, I ask you? Last week, we spoke about New Year's resolutions. We covered Dry January and health and fitness and the specifics of that for LGBTQ plus people. And if you fancy something different, just a really long talk about sex, really. Cody Rigsby came on the show. I loved him, and he was helping us us all with our agony uncles. So that was going on. That's still on the feed. And as a reminder that we are finally hosting a live show in London on the 29th of February. What are you doing? Because we want you to come along. Me, Tom Allen and Susie Ruffle. We're doing a one-off light, big get-together, and many exciting things will happen. In the meantime, thank you for all your Christmas updates. I've been going through the old files, and we're asking about your firsts. And we had a really lovely voice note from David, who wrote in and told us about a really special first Christmas for him. So let's have a listen to that.
Hey, Chris. You were asking about Christmas firsts. So this is a pretty cool Christmas. It's my first Christmas as a married gay man with my husband, Linny. It's also our first Christmas with our new grandson, Eden, who will be a whole 1 month old at Christmas. And that Christmas is made even more special by it being the first Christmas day that my husband and I spend with my daughter, our daughter, our grandson, Eden, and also my amazing ex-wife, best friend, business partner, Liz, and her husband, Gavin. So, yeah, we're a very modern LGBTQ plus ally-friendly family. Oh, and I forgot to say, and then on the 27th, we are headed to China for 2 months to meet Minglin Linny's family. Scary biscuits. But we're going to be celebrating two New Years, Western New Year in Beijing, and then Chinese New Year in February, also in Beijing.
David, that is pure joy to hear. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. 2024 is going to be a lovely year for you and your husband. Right, let's go and have a chat with Andrew and Andrew. This is a really nice chat. Here we go.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, boys. How are you?
Hi, Chris. How's it going?
Good. We just want to make it clear this is not our house. It feels like we're in some sort of like Laura Ashley, like wallpaper.
Me and Andrew have moved in together.
Yeah.
We clashed over
yourselves there.
All I'm going to say is that I love what you've done with the place.
No, you don't.
It's beautiful. Do you know what?
I just got a feature wall.
A feature wall with a Perspex feature red leaf moment behind Andrew as well.
Andrew's...
that was my choice,
that was Andrew's, the butterfly moment.
I'm really into butterflies, yeah.
Okay.
Lovely. Coming off a clean sweep at the Biffers, no?
It was pretty dirty, wasn't it?
A dirty sweep.
A dirty gay sweep. Yes, absolutely.
I like that. Dirty gay sweep.
At 7016 Street, isn't that where you get one of those?
Exactly. Thank you, NHS.
Congratulations. How does it feel?
It's great. Like, it's amazing. Like, you just, it means that more people might hear about the film and see the film. And so, you know, obviously it's nice to win, like, personally. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, it is for the film and it's great.
Yeah. Had you won any of those before, I meant to ask you?
No, I've never won a Biffa. I've been to the Biffas. Well, we won something for Weekend, which was called Achievement in Production, which I don't know what the hell that is. But
you completed the course sheet.
Yeah, but Tristan won that, the producer, not me.
You're right.
So this is my first time.
Oh, yeah. That's wonderful.
After 13 years of working in independent film.
Yeah. That's great.
But I always think, okay, so you won in several categories. So Andrew Haig, did you prepare multiple speeches? Or do you just kind of go, I'll do one and then I'll just riff the others?
I would say I semi-thought of one speech and then completely forgot what that speech was. It's really weird because, like, you both want to win and you also don't want to win. Because then you're like, oh my God, are you telling me I've got to stand up in front of how many hundred people and open my big mouth? And you're like, oh Christ.
And it sounds disingenuous to say that, but you're so fearful in the room. You think, oh my God.
This is horrendous.
Yeah.
It's horrendous. And everyone's looking at you just like, or like, angry.
Yeah, yeah.
And you sort of then have to like have words and say things. So I can't really remember what I
That's
said.
Brilliant. Though.
You don't have to say I was sounding great.
Well, I know, but I can't. No, you was wonderful. You was terrific.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry, I can't commit to that. No, he was terrific.
I need to think about it. Well, listen, they're very well deserved because I watched the film and to be honest, boys, it broke me. So a massive congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm filming in the Gold Coast in Australia at the moment and you can't really see, but I'm sort of living in a very clean tower that is not unlike the tower in which Adam lives in. So it definitely struck some chords. But, you know, what I loved about it is that it is really heightened, but with that heightened stuff, it's so hard to land the emotional, isn't it? And make it feel real. And there isn't a second that you're not just launched into that incredible fantasy. And one of the things I loved in particular is the way that it was never glib with your parents, you know, like you were quite tough with them.
Mm.
And was that a choice to sort of deal with it like that?
Yeah, well, we talked about that so much. And I think that was down primarily to Andrew's screenplay. I think Andrew's real master at that, which is to be able to touch people without being sentimental in any way. And I really do think for an awful lot of queer families, it's something that I really have been saying a lot about this film, because I think it's really true. I think for so many people, the queer coming out experience, so to speak, isn't necessarily as all embracing on one hand or as outright rejectionary. A word?
As a word. I don't think it's a word, but
yeah. Right, we know what I'm saying. We reject that rejectionary word. You know, that it isn't an all-out rejection, nor is it an all-embracing acceptance. Sometimes I think the most common experience for queer people when they come out is that there's a sort of slightly brutal, rocky road, and there's certainly love within a family, and then it exists between those two extremes, you know. And I think the film is so tender and beautiful because of the brutality and the awkwardness of what they say and the sort of sudden accidental cruelty of the parents, but that there is a huge amount of love there. I think that's an experience for so many queer people.
And also that thing of like, you come out, right? So you say to your parents, this is who I am. We need to talk more in life about the fact that from that point forwards, you need to continue to include them in what that is.
Mm.
Listen, I was really lucky. My parents didn't care, but nor did they say to me, you know, it was the 90s, like, did they say to me, are you okay? Like, are you suffering discrimination? They didn't have the words for that, and I don't blame them for that, really. And, you know, you do diverge, and they don't ask you where you're going at night, even though they know you're going into town. You know, like, it is different.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I think you do drift unless you make a concerted effort. And I don't know if you two found that in your growing up.
Yeah, look, I think when you're terrified of coming out, which lots of us were, let's face it, like, you know, I came out in the 90s as well, absolutely terrified, but you are so scared that you just want them to be okay with it.
Yeah.
So you don't, you sort of end up trying to make them feel okay.
Sort of babysit their feelings.
You babysit their feelings and be like, oh, it's okay, I'm fine, don't worry, I'm actually really happy, I'm this, and oh, don't worry about all the things you used to say. You don't have to ask him about how I felt.
Yeah.
And you do that a lot. You dealt with friends, you do that with all kinds of people in your life. And I think we're not very honest, either with ourselves or with people that we care about. And you sort of want to say, actually, hold on, I found this very difficult. Mm. I've been very upset for a very long time. And even to friends, when you come out to friends when you're young, you're like, oh yeah, you actually made it very difficult for me because of the things you used to say. We're so determined to make them feel comfortable. Yeah. And I think we're sort of fooling ourselves and we're trying to say to ourselves, oh, we're fine, we're all great. Mm. But you know, the film is about anything. It's about like the pain of all that experience that stays with you and is there inside you at every stage along your life. Like I'm 50 and I'm pretty fucking out, but it doesn't take much, that's what they talk about in the film, to suddenly feel intimidated again or nervous about saying that you're gay again.
Yeah.
You know, we all have to do it all the time. Chris, I'm sure it's the same for you. You're constantly having to come out to people
and
you're always second guessing. You're like, okay, is this, am I going to get some kind of reaction that makes me feel awkward or makes me feel not even a negative reaction, but just an awkward reaction.
Yeah.
So
it's just awkward because it's something I was thinking about yesterday. It's just, it's the assumption that everybody is straight.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Mm, yeah.
That's where it's dealable with. But when you're, you know, 15 and someone goes, oh, you got a girlfriend, or a taxi driver says, oh, you got blah, 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 blah. And that still happens. It's funny, I remembered yesterday there was a game show or something, like a Saturday night television show, and there was this little camp boy who was doing something and he was really into Jerry Halliwell. and the TV presenter, and I can't quite remember who it was. And he came out and he met her and blah, blah, blah. And the TV presenter said to this little boy who was probably about six, so we've got a girlfriend. And I remember really clearly in the 90s, Jerry Halliwell saying, or boyfriend. And it was such a wonderful thing because that's what it's not a big deal, but that's the thing. Once we remove the assumption that everybody, unless they speak about it, is straight, when that becomes an actual reality for people, then I think the culture really shifts, and then we don't feel that. As you say, it's not necessarily terror, but it's just an awkwardness that you think, well, you've got a wife, and you think,
I think you're always just hyper aware.
Yeah.
It's almost like you can feel it. You're ready to sort of be scared about it, or you're ready for something to go wrong, even though it doesn't go wrong, you know, most of the time. It's usually absolutely completely fine.
Exactly.
But you're just ready for it to go wrong.
Right.
Or for someone to say something that makes you go like, oh God, have I got to defend myself? I'm like 50 years old, really? I have to defend myself now?
And sometimes it's irrational on our part.
Totally.
You know, like.
Well, I think that goes to what you said, actually, Chris. I feel like a lot of us move ourselves away from the center of the family, and Harry talks about it in the film, almost on purpose, because we're afraid to have those difficult conversations. So we find that we drift away from the center of whatever it is, or we find a different friendship group, or we do whatever it might be. And it's like on all of us to try and be like, you know what, let's just sit down and have a conversation about you made me feel this, or I feel this, or talk to your parents openly about what it means to be gay and those kind of things. But we're still not very good at doing it.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
That bit of the film where it's Harry talks about isolation from his family, right? Like, that broke me. You know, it's one of the bits I loved, because I do think it was so nice to hear someone talk about that, because you get to like 30 something, let's say, picking a number out of the air, it doesn't really matter. Your friends start having kids, they start moving out. But then also when you're like 40, for example, often like you don't really feel at home in the clubs anymore either. And it can be really, really isolating, that. And actually so many people who write into this podcast talk about loneliness in different ways and isolation. And that's why we did this podcast, to create
really,
a community.
Yeah.
But people don't have the words to articulate that. And I think it was really lovely to hear that. And I don't know if either of you have felt that.
Totally. I mean, it's so sad to me. It's like the tragedy is that so many queer people still feel alone, and we continually feel alone. And I think that's when you're other, let's say, it's inevitable that you often end up drifting to some kind of edge and feeling alone. And it is true, like when I started going out on the scene, let's say in the 90s, I suddenly felt less alone again to start with, but you can still feel very alone within the scene too.
Yeah.
It's not all embracing, I think, as we all know.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the most community-minded of community sometimes.
There are times when, it can feel, I don't know, where you feel very, it's intimidating.
Yeah.
But I have to say, as much as I love my straight friends, I spent a huge amount of time sort of investing in those friendships, and I, of course, still do.
Mm.
But I have to say, in my 40s, actually, I've actively sought out making a gay group of people.
Me too.
And it's really important to me. It's very important that that communion, being able to talk and being able to just have a shared culture or something about that I felt I was so lacking in. And it's not necessarily always about having a boyfriend or whatever, but about having a community of people that you have, and adding to that and going to those things and really embracing that. And that's been one of the genuine joys as I've got older. And that sort of adolescence or that group mentality that, of course, I had within my straight friendship. But I think what a lot of people do is that they sort of desexualize themselves a little bit in their teens. Mm. Perhaps. That's certainly my experience.
Well, yeah, same.
Yeah, and so you become the great friend, and you're invested in everybody's relationships, and you sort of
girls love you.
Yeah, yeah, and there's a real melancholy underneath that for a lot of people, and I think to sort of bring that out and be, you know, have friendships and talk about sex and relationships at all ages of life. That doesn't necessarily have to revolve around going to a nightclub, although going to a nightclub is great. Too, there's something absolutely amazing about going to a nightclub when you're a little bit older and thinking, I'm going to go fucking home now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? I'm going to go home at once.
You don't feel that peer pressure. Yeah, exactly.
I also always feel like it's like in your regular life, when you're surrounded by the regular people in the world, you're sort of just holding your breath a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then when you're surrounded by queer people, you just like, I can actually just like exhale a little bit. Yeah. And I don't have to worry about saying the things I want to say. Yeah. And you just moor yourself. Mm. And I think you automatically, and I do think it's probably very different for younger people. You know, like I do feel like, it's, thank God, it's so different for younger generations, I think. Yeah. Younger people, but for me, I feel like I can just breathe a little bit softer when I'm surrounded by people that are a little bit more like me.
Yeah.
Well, the film made me really think of that as well, because, you know, we're talking about conversations you could have had with your parents and stuff, and then you were able to have. But I also, as I get a little older, I feel nostalgic for a queer childhood I could have had, because I look at 14-year-olds on TikTok watching Heartstopper just being, and it's like, wow, I just sat in my room feeling scared.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so true. It's, you feel nostalgic for that. And I don't want to sound like I feel hard done by, but I don't know if you guys relate.
No, I think there's I don't know if you read the book by Walt Odets, Psychology of Gay Men's Lives. It's an American book.
Writing it down right now.
It's really, but he talks a lot about it. He talks a lot about that for a lot of queer people, we're nostalgic for something that we never actually had. Yeah. And it is like a grief, and it's a loss.
Yeah.
And it's something we never got. And we sort of just wish so much that we could have had that childhood that wasn't drenched in fear. Mm. Like, it's so hard now. Like, we're all out and whatever. But remember what it felt like to be a teenager.
Yeah.
I mean, you are crying in your room every night.
Yeah.
You're absolutely terrified. And, you know, I'm sort of, I'm not angry that young people get to have a freer life, but I'm a little bit jealous.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit like, oh, okay. Yes. So I'm so happy that things are different for that generation. I sometimes wish that they still need to remember that it maybe wasn't the same for us. And it's just like we need to remember that the generation above us was also different for them.
Yeah.
So it's important to remember the generation that came before.
Well, that's why I think going out and going to, there's nothing I like more than a sort of terrible gay bar.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Where it's all not ages like,
all different ages. Yeah, you know, I remember going to one in Palm Springs recently, and it was absolutely brilliant. And we got talking to this couple, and they were probably in their 70s, they retired.
Yeah.
And they were together about 40 years. And they had their champagne, and they were watching these musicals on the big screen in the bar. And then there were like lots of, you know, really hot young people, and there were older people. And I just thought, this is
joyful.
This is it. And I love that idea of just, I think that's one of the things we're very lucky in the, as an actor, or even just working in the film and TV and theater industry, is that if you are in a play or a film that's about older people and younger people, then that's who you hang out with. There isn't a sort of socioeconomic group. And I think that always makes for more joy in a bar or on a film set where there's loads of different people. Yeah. You know, that's what keeps us really connected.
But I feel like when I was younger, when I was in my, let's say, late 20s, when I was out and about and doing things on the scene, I sort of wanted to reject the generation above me. Right. And it's probably out of fear, I think, in many ways. I think for a certain generation of, like, say, as I say, I'm 50, so I kind of grew up as AIDS was in full force as a crisis. And I almost wanted to reject the older generation who really had to experience the barrage and the horrendousness of AIDS. Yeah. And I sort of wanted to reject those older people out of fear, essentially, out of terror.
Yeah.
And then as I've got older, I'm like, oh, God, how stupid of me is that? I missed out on so many conversations with people who are now in their 60s and 70s, who were out and about at that time as well. And I sort of rejected that, which is so sad, and I wish I hadn't.
Well, it's probably a little bit of shame in some way.
Huge amount of shame. Yeah. It's shame and fear. It's like, I don't want to look at that in the face because I'm terrified of that. Yeah. And so it's so important that different generations of queer people come together and talk about what they share as an experience and what was different as an experience. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's completely true, and it is a shame. I remember sort of feeling like that older generation were too gay.
Totally.
I'm being really honest. Yeah.
Totally, absolutely. I couldn't understand why they all like were obsessed by muscles and like, you know, like, and just being like a certain type of person. And I was like, and felt too gay to me. And it's so, I mean, it's so full of shame, in my own shame at the time. And it's like, I don't want to be like that. I want to be like a scruffy gay indie kid in the corner of pop stars. Do you know what I mean? That's what I wanted to be.
Yeah, and also because you get praised a lot for not seeming gay.
I know.
You don't seem well done.
And you'd thank people for saying to you, like, oh, you know, I never thought you were gay. And you're like, thank you. I'm like, what?
It was the best.
I said, thank you. Yeah, it's like, what is that? It's really so gross in retrospect. But you have to understand where that came from. Yeah. It came from, like, shame was put upon us. And so we were trying to manage that and deal with that. So it doesn't
I think
make
that's
sense.
So much of the kind of trauma that you, because when people would say something like that, you're like, you know what? You know, Andrew, you don't seem like, you don't seem gay. It's some sort of straight 19-year-old says this when you're at some dreadful party.
Yeah.
And you're going like, yeah. And you go, oh, what do I say? Thanks.
Yeah.
And then that sort of seeps into you. And then you move on. You never confront that at the moment.
No.
You sort of, because your instinct in all these things, and I think that's why it works in the movie so well, is not to be confrontational the whole time. You're trying to connect with people.
Yeah.
And you don't connect with people by, you know,
shouting and screaming.
Shouting and screaming and being defensive all the time. Because you've got so much on your plate already.
Yeah. Although now I do shout and scream a little bit more if someone does say
anything. Well, it's a way of,
like
there's
that.
A way of authoritatively sort of saying,
what are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
Boys, we've got to leave it there. Thank you so much. This has been wonderful. Really appreciate you both taking the time and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Beautiful film.
Thank you.
And listen, I love what you've done with the house.
Thank you. It's nice, isn't it?
I can't wait to see.
And I love your lovely apartment. It's a beautiful apartment.
Exactly.
You must be so happy you've moved in there. It's really.
We just thought white and then more white. That's
yeah,
what we thought.
Exactly. Keep it neutral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't want anyone thinking you're gay.
Exactly.
Okay, I love that chat with those two. They're absolute peaches, the pair of them. All of Us Strangers is out in the cinemas on the 26th of January. Grab your mother, grab your friends, take them down. Get in touch at Homo Sapiens on Instagram, at Homo Sapiens Podcast on Facebook. Email your comments, your questions, and your ugly uncles to hello@homosapienspodcast.com. Next week, to celebrate the launch of season 2 of the hit queer sitcom Big Boys, we're doing a Big Boy special with writer and director Jack Rook. How exciting is that? So tune in. It's had 5-star reviews everywhere. People are losing their minds. And of course, like Kate AD, we're first to the front line to talk to them all about it. So that's next week. All right, everybody. Take care and lots of love. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Powered by Spirit Studios.